From the authentic soul of Bernie Siegel, MD, comes Mind Health Matters, a show that reflects Bernie's passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges, not just the physical ones, so that each person can live life fully with the understanding that, as Bernie reminds us, we only have today. Believing that we are all here to love one another, each in our own unique way, Bernie has crafted eternal truths and the timeless wisdom of the ages. Join Bernie as he shares his powerful journey through life while offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Deborah, and you are tuned in to Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel, as you have heard. And this is a Dream Vision 7 radio broadcast here at 1510 AM Sports Radio Boston. And we have a great show for you today. And for everyone out there, if you're tuning in for the first time, you can hear Bernie's show every first Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on NBC 1510 AM, as well as on our own station, Dream Vision 7. You can hear his shows Wednesday through Friday, 12 noon and 12 a.m. Every single week. And there's also affiliate buttons to click on to see all the other stations we have Bernie's show on. Okay, and I should mention that if you want to connect with Bernie, you simply go on his site. It's Bernie Siegel, SIEGELMD.com. Just as it sounds, all one word, BernieSiegelMD.com. You can connect with him right there on the site. You can see his books and his writings and articles and everywhere he is. So good day, Bernie.
Thank you. I think we all, you know, that's something when you get up in the morning to really be grateful and see it as a good day, and it'll change your view of the world.
I so agree with you. And even in the intro, you say one day, just take this day because that's all we have. And it's so important to do just as you say. I've been doing that as well, thanking the higher God, Creator, for my actual life. That in itself is an immense gift.
Yes. And no matter what difficulties and pain you experience, to still see it that way. And then the difficulties become the blessing, so to speak, in terms of what they teach you. It's I get endless, well, because people keep writing them, numbers of books, and I do too, about what they find in life through adversity, and including, you know, cancer and all kinds of tragedies, or like, you know, the Newtown, Connecticut disaster. There are people who then come together to see what they can produce out of this, you know, what blessings they can create. And I don't mean just changing laws, but how they can help other people through difficult times, and, you know, how we come together because of tragedies. When you think about how many people sent gifts, I mean, they've got buildings stacked with teddy bears, you know.
Right.
And, you know, why do we need this, to have something like this happen, to then get everybody to appreciate each other and start sending things to each other? Because I was thinking really about how nasty the human race is.
Can you speak up a little bit, Bernie?
Yeah, I mean how...
Oh, there you are.
I'm sort of thinking, and the phone is drifting away. But it's really what a nasty species we are. You know, you don't get pictures sent to you via email of... you know, human beings raising other human beings who they don't even know and doing all kinds of things. A disaster, there's a response. But you get all kinds of wonderful pictures of animals, you know, with people or with each other, just loving each other and caring for each other. And our headlines are more about, I mean, it really upsets me, that young woman on a bus in India who is raped by the guys on the bus. and the driver participates in it. I mean, how can they do a thing like that, you know?
Well, because they're not, you know, I believe we're all here on earth to learn the love, and many people hold the hate, and the whole idea is learning how to turn that around and hold the love, and if you're holding love for self, you couldn't do anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, I understand, but you have, you know, that it relates to how we're brought up and a lot of other things that, well, even... I was mentioning that this young man in Newtown, that if he had been grown up with love, yes, he could have been mentally ill. But still, not everybody who's schizophrenic is violent,
right?
You know, so you know, and they say, oh, his mother loved him, but she had guns in the house. And my thought was, what if she had four pets in the house? You know, a couple of dogs and a couple of cats instead of guns. What would he have been like to be surrounded by the unconditional love of four furry creatures?
Mm.
And those are the things that affect all of us. So, yes, it's how we're brought up. But still, I know a young man who said he was going to commit suicide because he was sexually abused by his parents, HIV positive, and he just said to me, I'm going to commit suicide. And I said, why don't you kill your parents? I said, everybody else is doing that. And he said, I never want to be like them.
Yeah.
Now, where did that come from? See, could it be a past life? I mean, I don't know. I don't have an answer. But what a wallop that was to hear him say, I never want to be like them. So, you know, people still have choices. And no matter how you brought up, you still have a choice. And rather than seek revenge, you can seek to not repeat what your parents did.
Mm.
You know, you become like your enemy. Let's put it that way.
Right.
You know, you're fighting a war. You can become worse than your enemy while you're still complaining about your enemy. But it's like that gives you an excuse to do terrible things to people. And you still, you know, have to look at what is within you. And so you could have had abusive parents and still make a choice to not be like them versus to take revenge on the world because of what they did to you. And
right, absolutely. I agree with that. Choice is always there. But as you know, Bernie, in this world, and as we're going into this new year, I can feel the difference. Everything's bubbling up across the nation, across the world, where untruths, you know, are coming up. And I think that's all, from a higher perspective, designed to be right now and for us to come together, not out of tragedy, but to come together and wake up and see how we're living and change it to a kinder world.
Yeah. I mean, to come together out of love, you know, I keep thinking, I wish I were the head of the United Nations or some country so I could tell everybody I love you. And see what happens.
Well, you could be. You could be.
you know, because what does your enemy do with you when you're saying, I love you.
Mm.
Let me help you.
Right.
I see you having a problem. You know, instead of all the negative comments, you know, you're doing it wrong. You're terrible. And that's why even religions, I mean, we create so many things that we end up fighting over. And arguing about, it just gets insane.
Right.
When if we just all became family, you know, really got together and said, let's all be family, you know, that the United Nations would have a family meeting and that we all come together and become not separate entities, but all one, see that what one does affects the other, so that it isn't, you know, my country, my religion, my race. It's we're all part of the same family, so let's think that way.
Right. It's a journey of healing ourselves and then stepping out of ourselves to see we're just like everyone else and honoring everyone regardless of what they look like.
And be willing to learn. You know,
right. And watch, I think it's so important to watch the way our thoughts are, not only for ourselves, what we're thinking about ourselves, but the thousands of thoughts that come through our minds on a daily basis, judging others, judging what someone else says.
I find in like my morning ritual, meditation, prayer, I include the names, literally, of people who you might say, I don't like how they treated me or their behavior and so forth, but still I pray for them.
Right.
Each day. And that affects my relationship with them because I do. I hope that they will, you know, have what they need in this life and not have to be a problem and, you know, wake up to that no matter how they were parented or what happened. Because I think a part of it is our reparenting each other, you know, our loving each other. Because when you persist in loving a person, that's when they realize they're worth loving. You know, when nobody else ever has, and then they don't have to behave in violent, you know, unhealthy ways just to satisfy their needs and desires. They begin to realize they're worth something, and then they start taking care of the person who they are because they realize they are of significance and importance to somebody.
Right. And when you love yourself so much, regardless of who you are and what you look like, you want to give back and you yeah. want to help others. You don't want to destroy others. You want to help.
Yeah, I was just going to say that loving yourself is not about ego. It's about what I call choosing life. I mean, that you choose what is good for everyone so that you look at how can I love the planet and how can I love the world. And that can be through your work or, you know, anything, but that you're contributing to everybody's benefit so they all participate in and benefit from your loving yourself and the rest of the planet, as I said. I often, because I was shocked one day when I asked my mother-in-law, who was in a wheelchair, not having a good day, in a nursing home, I said to her, what can I pray for you? Because I really thought she would say, please get me a nurse or change my underwear or, you know, some, just, And she stopped and went into almost this trance-like state and then looked up at me and said, world peace.
Mm.
Now, I tell you, that was an incredible shock to me, that someone who could be having all these troubles, must have been around 90 at the time, in a wheelchair, would focus on the entire planet and say, world peace. And she changed. No longer was it a bad day, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
I mean, she became another person when she went into that frame of mind. And over the years, as I've asked this question of God knows how many thousands of people, only about half a dozen have transcended their personal needs and said things like world peace. Usually, what can I pray for you? You know, it's a new car, more money, health, but they're always focused on themselves. And I think, well, I know, I don't just think that when you transcend yourself and your personal needs, that's when the magical stuff happens.
That's right.
That you then say, oh, wow, that was a miracle. Wow, how lucky I was. What a coincidence. But it isn't, because when you make that shift, you create a different future. And then things that can literally be life-saving show up on your doorstep that wouldn't have if you hadn't changed.
Right. It's really being conscious. And as you're saying early in the show, and I've included, when you sit quietly in the morning or the evening and just be in gratitude and make knowledge of of all the good things that you are in that with the love, you can feel how you rise right up to a whole different frame of mind, yeah, all in a minute. So it's getting to that place and remaining there, and living from that place on a daily basis.
Yeah, on a practical level, two ways I like to do it. One is, and I may have mentioned this, I don't know if I did, of using the alphabet and thinking of three things you're grateful for that begin, you know, with the letter A, B, C. And
sure,
you start on the first day of the month, because I thought was clever on my part. You start on the first day of the month. So for 26 days, you think about, what am I grateful for? Three things that begin with the letter for that day. And some may not be easy, like X, you know, or Z. But, and then I always give people, you know, 2 to 3 or 2 to 5 days off, because it's now past the 26th. And then if you want to just take it easy for a few days and think about other things, that's okay. But I find, because I tend to do it when I go out for a walk in the morning with the dogs, you're separated from everything and I can focus on that. And I see how differently I feel 15, 20 minutes later when you come back in the house when you've been working on your grateful list.
Right.
And the other was, and I don't know where I got this idea, but to think of yourself as an extraterrestrial. I mean, wake up tomorrow morning, and before you open your eyes, really say to yourself, okay, this is my first day on this planet. Then open your eyes and look around. And things get really interesting when you're seeing them, in a sense, for the first time. I mean, like, you know, last night it snowed in ice. And, yeah, you can get up, oh, God damn it, I, you know, have to shovel and the car and the road. But what if you got up and said, this is my first day on Earth, and you look out the window, as I am now, and you say, wow, how beautiful it is. Mm. All the trees are decorated with snow, and how pretty and white it is, and you know, and I have had these things happen some mornings when I was, oh, it's all ice out there. But then when I stepped outside and said, Bernie, it's your first day, I noticed how gorgeous all the trees were, because when the sun came out, it looked like somebody hung diamonds on them, you know, the way it reflected the ice.
Yeah.
So suddenly it became just incredibly beautiful, and how different I felt then, oh, the ice, and how will I, you know, get anywhere? And I think that when you shift your mind in that way, yeah, everything does get better, and you can live with it, because it becomes a work of art rather than a problem. I mean, one special morning, before we had the windows changed in our house, I got up in the morning, had to get to the hospital, needed to know what the weather was like outside. So I go to the bathroom window, and it was totally fogged, you know, misted over, frozen over. And I, you know, began to get so agitated. I can't even see the temperature, you know, the thermometer that was on the outside of the window. I can't see the weather. I can't. And then I said to myself, Bernie, it's your first day on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Then I took another look at the window, and suddenly I saw the beauty, because the way the moisture had frozen on the window was like the pattern of a fern. I mean, it was incredible, like crystals all over this window. I mean, it was just incredibly beautiful. And so I then ran and got a camera to take a picture of it. And that's when I realized, you know, 10 minutes ago, you were totally aggravated and mad at the window, and here you are, thinking it's beautiful, taking pictures to show people. And that's, you know, when that shift occurs, though, what a different day it becomes. So,
exactly.
You know, see the world through those eyes. It's like a child's eyes, that you appreciate what's in front of you and, you know, see it in a different way than, oh, it's a nuisance and it's changing my plans and what will I do today and everything else. Yeah, like this morning, I said, okay, the shoveling is exercise. You know, not work, but it's exercise. It's good for you. So
right,
you go out and you take care of it.
Sure. Well, we need to be taking a break in another minute or so, and I want to tell everyone and share that they can actually order your books at your son's store, which is Wisdom of the Ages. It's right in Connecticut, and the site is wisdomoftheages.biz. So remember, it's not .com, it's .biz, and just as it sounds, wisdomoftheages.biz. And so when you go on the site, you can order any of Bernie's items, books and everything, Bernie, and you just put in the code 27 in the comment box, and you'll receive 15% off of all your items. Usually you receive a follow-up email confirming the 15% savings. So do that, and that is right at Bernie's son's store in Connecticut. So with
son
that said, I'm sorry?
I say son and his wife is Jane.
Yes, Jane and Keith
right.
Siegel. Right. Lovely. I talked to Jane. Lovely person. So with that, I believe we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a moment.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings in the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and faith, hope, and healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles. Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Saturday at 3 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Are you ready to be who your soul wants you to be? Join Lynn McGonigal, the founder of the Lightworkers Healing Method, as she and her amazing guests show you how to move into a life of lasting joy. Miracles happen every second Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Hasn't your soul already waited long enough?
Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Tune in every second Saturday at 3 p.m. for Maximum Success, the Coach Bruce Show. You'll learn success strategies to take your game to the next level from performance consultant John Brubaker. Maximum Success explores why winners win and teaches you the keys to peak performance. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Mind Health Matters, a Dream Vision 7 radio broadcast here at 1510 AM, NBC Sports Radio Boston, and Mind Health Matters is with the Dr. Bernie Siegel. And coming back from the break, Bernie, you wanted to speak about ways to how to handle oneself, even listening to what's happened at Sandy Hook.
Yeah, one of our, Sandy Hook. Our children is in the law enforcement. He's an FBI agent.
Oh.
And I may add, at his graduation, and things he was sharing with me, that they are asked, are you capable of killing someone?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when I thought, that's a hell of a question, because yes. their statement Gosh. Is no, you know, I would never kill somebody, then they told to withdraw from the school, you know, and not apply. And yes, I can see doing it maybe to save my family's life, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But I would still find it, I would rather say to that person first, I love you, than put a gun to their head. But anyway, the reason I bring this up is for the future, if anybody is ever exposed, because our son wrote and said, if that kind of thing happens, like Sandy Hook, the first thing you do is run. Get the hell out of there. And sometimes, as some people have done, they jump out of second or third story windows because it's less of a threat to their life than what's happening inside. He said, if you can't run, then hide. And that also you have to be wary of, you know, because people know you're in a room. They may open the closet door and find you, but still, it's better not to just sit under your desk. You know, if the teacher says, get under your desk. No, get somewhere where nobody sees you.
Mm.
And the last he said, which I thought was interesting, he said, if you can't run and can't have no place to hide, then fight. And one of the things he mentioned, which I'd never in the world would have thought of, he said, take a fire extinguisher, for instance. You can spray it in somebody's face and blind them. You can clog their nose and mouth, and they can't breathe. And, you know, things like that, I think we need to be trained in, too.
Mm.
So run, hide, or fight, depending on which is in order. And then people wrote to me and said, well, what if you got stupid instructions? Because I put some of this in a newspaper article I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And what if you got dumb instructions, you see? But the comment was, if you get stupid instructions, then don't listen to them. But you see, they were, a lot of them were accepting authority figures, you know, that if your doctor said, if the pilot of a plane said, if a policeman said, you should do it. And my comment is no. I mean, if they haven't been through something and you don't think it makes any sense what they're telling you, then don't do it. You know, there are a lot of dead people because of ship captains and airplane pilots and police, you know, because somebody commented that there were people in the 9/11 disaster who were told, it's okay, stay in the building, you're safe here. And then the building collapses. So if your thought is, I better get out of here, never mind that somebody's telling you it's okay, get out. You know, listen to your own intuitive wisdom also.
Exactly.
And, you know, and it can save your life. But there are, you know, there is appropriate behavior even in that way. And
I hope day that there isn't any guns and you don't have to be asked, can you kill someone? That
right.
we won't have any use for guns or weapons.
Yeah. Because, again, if you're not mentally in the right place, you're more likely to hurt someone, you know, than if your attitude towards that person is still one of love. You still see them as a person.
Yeah.
That's the important thing. Now, what was the other thing you just mentioned? That
well, you had spoken of a day of peace, that you would like to create a day of peace with no bad news.
Because what... You know, when I send out letters, emails, and things, I usually write peace at the end and then sign my name. And some people don't understand, but what I'm wishing for everybody is peace. Because I think it's not only, you know, peace with the absence of war, but peace of mind. That when you can have peace, you have what you need. And I mean that literally.
Mm-hmm.
You may have an illness, you may be needing something in your life, but still, if you're at peace, you can live with that.
Mm.
You know, I always keep thinking of good old Helen Keller and all the things that, you know, her problems, blind, deaf, etc. And yet, you always had a sense she was at peace with life, with God, with you know, with creation, with everything, and
right.
just all her wonderful writings.
And, yeah, it's learning to live and embrace uncertainty, I think, because what is certain?
Right. Life is, that was my wife's line, and she did her stand-up comedy, was life is uncertain, eat dessert first. But you can, again, live with the uncertainty and enjoy the moment. But I think that it becomes less uncertain when you start living in that moment, in that way, then more likely things are going to happen that make you happy rather than create more trouble. But, you know, I can't believe how many people I have met, because there was somebody in our cancer support group the other night who said the same thing. My mother said, don't be too happy.
Yeah.
Why not? Because tomorrow something terrible could happen.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell does being happy today have to do with tomorrow? You know, if something happens tomorrow, okay. But, I mean, to tell your children don't be too happy, you know, it to me is the most insane kind of statement I've ever heard.
Yes.
Because then they stop enjoying life, you know.
Right. They feel as though there's something wrong with being
tomorrow. Happy.
Yeah.
But it amazed me that people grew up with, but one man, because I always talk about mottos to live by, you know, that if we have people coaching us, they tell us ways to survive. So it's mottos to live by. But he said he didn't ask us what mottos we're dying by. I mean, that kind of thing never occurred to me, that, you know, parents' words would be killing you instead of helping you.
Mm.
But again, you see, that's when people have some real disaster and learn that they could die and all kinds of things, and then say, I better write a book. Look what I now learned from this. You see, then the disaster, and I mean it literally, the threat to your life becomes a gift because it teaches you. It really wakes you up. I don't mean it wakes up everybody, but the people who do, and then they're out there, again, writing their books. I mean, I am writing a foreword to a book that somebody... I can find the exact title, but it's about finding the ruby within herself. Yeah, finding the ruby within.
Mm-hmm.
And because she had terrible headaches, discovered she had a brain tumor, but finding the ruby within. See, what this event led her to discover. And what it reminded me of, which I was putting in the foreword, was a story that I read that I can't remember where, but a little myth where, let's say, a woman is walking down a path and off in the woods and enjoying nature, and she sees a cave. And she walks into the cave, and there is this beautiful diamond sitting there. And she thought, oh, my God, look at this. I'll go get it and take it home. It's worth a fortune. But as she walked towards it, she hears this horrible roar. And looks, and there's this monster standing there. And, oh, my God, I'm afraid. I'll get out of here. And she runs out because she's too afraid to pick up the diamond and get closer to the monster. But her whole life, what does she live with? The guilt. Why wasn't I brave enough to pick it up? What a difference it could have made to my family. And so when she gets to be an old-timer, she says, you know, I want to go back and just see that again. And she goes back to the cave and walks in. And there's the diamond still sitting there. And as she walked towards it, she sees a little lizard off to the side of it. And so she picks up the diamond and takes it home. And, you know, what's the difference? Well, obviously what seemed to her to be a monster years ago is now a little lizard because of her life experience and where she is. And that's what we all really have to learn, see? Because as she put it, you know, finding the ruby within, but she embraces this ruby, you know, what's within her. Like mm-hmm. This woman embraces a diamond and takes it home. And there are times where we just need to have the courage to embrace whatever is confronting us, whatever we're fearful of, embrace it. And then it changes the relationship and what happens to you. And it also reminded me of something I do at workshops, because if you hold up, which I do, a piece of paper with a black dot on it, you know, like about an inch and a half diameter, big black dot on a big piece of paper. And I say to people, what am I holding up in front of you? Well, the correct answer is you're holding up a piece of paper with a black dot on it. But most people yell out, a black dot, a black dot, a black dot. Why? Because what are they focused on? You know, it's like focusing on the black dot in your life, the trouble, say. And a few people will say, you're holding up a piece of paper with a dot on it. Yeah, they're seeing life in a different way. But then the punchline is, if you take that black dot and you put it under pressure, what does it become? A diamond. And there's a wonderful country western song that uses that lyric. I'm a block of coal, I'm a chunk of coal, but I could be a diamond someday. And that's what people need to
Learn. Well, with that said, we need to take our next break, Bernie. So everyone will be back in a moment.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and faith, hope, and healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Saturday at 3 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Join us every second and fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Please join us on Skydance Astrology, the key to your soul's purpose, with esoteric astrologer Charlene Rose Johnson, the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. Charlene will discuss how this ancient key of the wisdom traditions works and will conduct sample interpretations of this language of the soul. Your spiritual purpose need not be a mystery. For information about obtaining oral readings via phone or Skype or full written reports, please go to the SkydanceAstrology.com webpage. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Saturdays 2 to 3 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Saturday, 2 to 3 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Bernie Siegel's show, Mind Health Matters. And I love, Bernie, the way you shared that information, or that where you were the person saw the coal, and yet it was a diamond. You know, it could be a diamond any time.
Right. And I think, you know, the more you experience in life, the less fearful you are, because you realize, you know, I can handle this. And I find that I learn from other people, too. I don't need a disaster to know that I'm capable of handling it, because I see other people get through it. You know, we're the same species, so I learn from them. And the term I like is, just as the charcoal can become a diamond, the curse can become a blessing.
Right.
And, you know, when you say to people, what are you experiencing? And I'm talking about people whose lives are threatened, will say a blessing, a wake-up call, a new beginning. And they impress me, because just as this woman, you know, writes about her tumor and what it taught her, they have found something. You know, she used the term, as I said, finding the ruby within. So within your troubles, within yourself, you find something precious and realize you are something precious. And so then, you know, oh, it's a good thing I had this happen.
Mm.
Well, I heard my father, which blew my mind, because I had learned, you know, as we grew up, his life history. And his father had tuberculosis, died of the TB with six kids, no life insurance because of his tuberculosis, and, you know, the hell that they went through to survive. And one day he was being interviewed for something as an adult, and I heard a recording of the interview, and I heard him say, one of the best things that happened to me was my father dying when I was 12 years old. And I thought, what kind of, why is he saying that? I know what they went through. How can he say that? So I said to him, how could you make a statement like that? And he said, it's what it taught me about life. I learned what was important about life. And it turned him into a person who wanted to help everyone else, if you know what I mean, because he knew they were going through what he went through.
Sure.
So to him, literally, material things were to make life easier for everyone. And it wasn't about being rich or accumulating. It was helping people with it.
Mm.
And that, I have to say, really impressed me that this horrendous event in his life became his greatest teacher and what made him an incredibly gentle and sweet man.
Mm.
I mean,
because in essence,
And I mean, he never, you know, would yell, never raise his voice, never hit anybody. I mean, he was just there, you know, to make life better and easier. And again, I don't know if I ever told you this story, but just so you know, because, you see, my mother would say to me, I'm going to tell your father when he comes home. And I would beg her not to and tell her I would do anything you want. Don't tell him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was such a wonderful man, I didn't want to hurt his feelings. So that was her power over me. I'm telling your father.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, please. But one day I was playing with a neighbor, his kid, and I remember this so distinctly outside on, you know, the lawn. And he had some special toy that I wished I had. And I was jealous of him.
Mm-hmm.
So I broke his toy. And my father heard, because, you know, the kid went home, told his parents, and they told mine. And my father heard what I had done. Didn't say a word. But the next day, he came home from work with the same toy. And he walked over to me, and he handed it to me. He said, here, I know you want this. And then he walked into the house. Now, I knew what he was saying to me. If you keep it, I won't say a word. That's your choice. But what you do with it is up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought my head was going to explode, because I knew I could keep it, but I knew it was not the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I went over to the neighbors, and I gave them the toy. And then we were all friends again. But, you know, I
love that
thought,
story, Bernie. I love that.
Yeah, how many people do you ever meet who are like that, who can use that kind of power, you know?
Well, I think your father took the death of his father, made a choice, as we talked earlier. Instead of being angry and hateful, he came from a place of love.
Yeah.
And then through, you know, through his children, he's teaching the same.
Yeah. And that becomes ingrained in you. You know, we started this session talking about a lot of violence, but to grow up with a father like that, it's hard to believe that you could ever do anything that would be violent or hurt anybody.
Mm.
Even as a surgeon, when there were complications or problems, that was devastating to me. That's what made it very hard for me to be a physician and surgeon, you know, that when I couldn't fix everything and cure everybody and save every life, it was really painful for me. But I also learned from the kids, you know, that what they needed was my love and my presence. And if I was there with them and for them, then they were able to get through the difficulties. And, and not blame me. I mean, that they understood that. And that the fact that I was hurting let them know I cared. And we were, in a sense, all family. And could put up with each other's imperfections, you know, just being human. I always say perfectly imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but when someone is doing it out of their free will and showing concern and love to you, it makes a difference. You know, you know you're of significance. Somebody cares. Somebody cares.
Right. And the feeling that you receive is so good, you want more of it, so you learn from there how to recapture that instead of letting it go.
Yeah. I feel a lot of it a lot of times with homeless people when I'm helping them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it could be just stopping on the street to give somebody a dollar, but to also get to know them and talk to them, because I can't help it. That's the kind of person I am.
Yeah. Well, you value life.
Yeah, and they always end up being my teachers and impressing me with who they are and what they have to share and say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to. Well, there's a who do you help? How do you help? When do you help? You help the person in front of you now by doing what they need. And I think when you can live with that attitude, it makes a big difference, even if it's holding a door open for somebody. But these are little things, but you know somebody cares.
Right.
When they
and sensing
that, yeah.
We're all so very busy and the world is fast, but sensing when someone does need the help and they've reached out to you to take that time with them, even though you may have a full day. And what happens is when you take that time, you just fills you up with energy and light, and you're able to do twice the amount of work that you would ordinarily do. It feeds the soul.
Yeah. I mean, some of it I know is my surgeon's personality in the sense of always trying to fix things. But did I tell you a story about my neighbor's mailbox?
Yes, but if you want to share that again, please
all right.
do.
I mean, because I've got another project I'm thinking about.
Okay.
But, you know, as I walk the dogs, we live on a circle. And as I walk around, I saw a neighbor's mailbox that the door had fallen open and wasn't working anymore. And so I, every time I walked by, I thought, I got to fix that, because this neighbor happens to be a disabled senior. I mean, there's nobody there to fix it. So I took the door flap back to my house, pulled out all the broken screws and things, and figured out a way to replace them with some wires through the holes, and took it back and put it back on and shut the mailbox up. And I didn't leave a note, or they don't know who did it. But about 4 or 5 days later, she and her daughter, who was taking her somewhere, drove by as we were walking outside. And I talked to them and told them I had fixed it. And, of course, you know, we're friends, and they were so happy. But I didn't need a thank you. I felt good having done something for someone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, across the street... You know, people are plowing our driveway and so forth. And our neighbor, who's a woman who's sort of an obsessive compulsive, I mean, I watch her tell people who are fixing her house how to fix it, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody's painting her house, she tells the painter how to paint. That she's that kind of person. But she told me that somebody who plowed my driveway pushed the grass in front of her mailbox back several inches. and they had just had it reseeded because they had cut some trees down. And I thought, how do you have time to get upset about some grass that's pushed back a few inches? So I have already flattened it out and stepped on it and so forth, but I was thinking of going off somewhere and cutting a little bit of grass from the edge of somebody's lawn that's off in the woods and then putting it in there to fill it in. Because I can't help it. You know, that's the way my brain works. And I know if I do that, especially as a mystery, I'll get a big kick out of it and then walk away knowing I've improved the world a bit, made her happier. And, because she could do it too. You see, if that were my house or my mailbox, I would go dig up some grass and put it there. You know, I'm always repairing things, not calling up the guy who plowed to tell him you tore up my driveway or you know. I mean, right. I may tell them and say, be careful, but I also have, you know, put some sticks in and things so that they know where they're going and, you know, and where how to be careful. But right. I find that when you do something for someone else, it's you get a gift out of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
you know,
if each one of us were able to do that, we're turning the world right around. So
yeah.
we've run out of time, Bernie. And the hour has just flown
by.
Oh,
my God, really? Wow, I couldn't believe it. But, you know, let me just say that, you know, where we started about love, that love, true love rewards the giver and the recipient. So just remember that. When you act out of love, you feel better. You're not looking to get something from someone, and they'll benefit.
Beautifully said. Thank you for that.
God bless you.
Bless everyone. So everyone, we'll see you next time with Dr. Bernie Siegel in Mind Health Matters.
Join us next time on Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Until then, remember, be fully engaged in life, loving every moment as your unique self. In going deep within to discover ourselves, we can also discover self-love. Then, when we let our hearts make up our minds, we connect what our bodies do so well to the power of love. We can boost our ability to grow and heal along with our self-esteem. The sense of empowerment that results from this mind-body connection is one related to self-induced healing. When you add spirit to that connection, making a mind-body-spirit connection, you nourish your soul. For more insight, go to BernieSiegelMD.com.
Join CPA, personal financial specialist Jane Honick, and psychologist Amy Wood on Your Money and Your Life on the fourth Saturday of every month at 3 p.m. and create a new life with money, because it's not about the numbers. It's about your state of mind. Jane and Amy will help you master the beliefs that drive not only your financial life, but all the areas of your life that matter. With new awareness and a positive attitude, you'll be on your way to creating a life of greater prosperity. This show is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, Inspiring True Stories of Healing, Gratitude, and Love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, Daily Messages of Inspiration, Hope, and Love, and Faith, Hope, and Healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Saturday at 3 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.